Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
2020 has been a year like no other.
They're going to talk about this forever, baby. They're going to talk about this forever. It's going to be special. They're going to talk about it forever, baby.
Y'all going to make a movie about this.
This football season is certain to follow that lead.
Might have been reading a press clipping and said they're so good because they didn't show up today.
Questions like never before surround every team, both on the field and off of it.
I'm not really sure what's going on down there and why they made this move.
Will Mahomes barbecue the record books?
At the 20-yard line and then spun down there, the first giant chunk of the game on third down and 15. And Mahomes guns it for 44.
Can Brady recapture the jewels for a gang of pirates?
The clock's ticking on everybody. We're going to have to work as hard as we can and not waste any minutes of any day.
Will Trevor Lawrence make the Tigers the kings of the jungle?
Lawrence takes a shot, then snap. Here comes pressure. Lawrence going to go and look long, but he lost. Ross makes a one-inning grab, and the Alabama 45 is knocked out of bounds.
Every week, the answers are right here, right now. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us, D.A., with you here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And our next guest is a four-time Pro Bowler. He is a Heisman Trophy winner. He is one of the greats in college football history. He is a College Football Hall of Famer and had his number retired by the Tennessee Titans, and it hangs in the Ring of Honor. Ahead of this big Titans and Steelers clash, we welcome on Eddie George this morning on the show. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. How you doing? You ready for this Steelers and Titans tilt?
Absolutely, it's going to be a 16 round heavyweight fight, man. I mean, it's going to be a rough one. So I can't wait to watch it. Got my popcorn ready, as Terrell Owens would say.
Once upon a time, this was a divisional matchup. Once upon a time, this was AFC Central hatred that was in there. You played in those games. What were those games like between the old Steelers and Titans, and even Steelers Oilers?
Well, it was called Titans Week. It was called Steeler Week when we played with the Titans, and that's when you knew it was a special week. It was you might as well have gotten your lunch pail, and in that lunch pail you're going to have some aspirin, you're going to have ice, you're going to have all the things that you need to help you heal for the course of next week to prepare, because it was going to be a physical battle. It was going to be played the telephone booth. It's not going to be one of these passive games where you're going to score a whole bunch of points and they're going to run all over the field. You have to earn every yard that you get. And that's the brand of football that both organizations believed in, from coach to coach, from player to player. It just passes on. They believe in running the football, playing a nasty style of defense, and they'll hit you with bad intentions. So that's how it was, playing in that division with Baltimore twice a year, Pittsburgh twice a year, Jacksonville twice a year, Cleveland twice, and Cincinnati. And it was the bloody AFC Central. So, you know, that's how life was for us. And it was understood, you know, what was required of you when you played in these type of games against Pittsburgh. You have to pay a heavy price, a sacrifice.
It's no longer a divisional matchup, but boy, the stakes are high today. The Steelers and the Titans are both 5-0, and the Titans now have to deal losing Taylor Lewan, one of their best offensive linemen, if not their leader on the offensive line. And of course, the Steelers' defense is still the Steelers' defense. How much do you think the loss of Lewan affects today's game?
That's going to be an interesting deal. Taylor Lewan clearly is one of the top linemen in the league, rightfully so. He's become emerged into a leader for the Titans, really matured over the last year or so in terms of cutting down his penalties. But his play has been effective. And I think where I know that Tannehill was standing upright because of his ability. The backup that's going to come in there, I don't know his name, but they're going to have to do some things probably to help him out earlier on so he gets his sea legs, especially against an active front like Pittsburgh's. So I think you're going to see a lot of tight end sets getting a lot of help on that side, and that could limit their playbook, but I don't see the Titans straying away from anything that they normally do offensively.
Such an interesting matchup because of exactly the things that you mentioned, and also that the Steelers, despite losing these wide receivers every single year, seem to just find the next one. And so Antonio Brown out, here comes Chase Claypool. They've already had Juju Smith-Schuster. They've already got James Washington. It's kind of an amazing thing. What does it say about the Steelers franchise that they're able to consistently replace those types of players, especially at wideout?
Well, it's amazing. You know, you go to Hines World, you can go to Ward, you can go to Lynn Swan. I mean, the list goes on and on. John Stallworth. I mean, they have a knack and I guess a little bit of luck in terms of finding talent at the wide receiver position. One thing that I've loved and I respect about their organization has been the consistency of the leadership at the top. Their ownership, the Hines family, has been tremendous. They have embraced me on occasions when I've gone up to Pittsburgh and treated me as if I played for them. And it was just like, wow, this is really overwhelming. I get why it's a family, you know, when you go into Pittsburgh and they travel. You know, you go to any NFL stadium on the road as a Steeler, and it's going to be, you know, almost not 50% to damn near 70% Steeler fans. I know that when we played in Tennessee for the first couple of years and we didn't have the support of the fans with the Tennessee Oilers, we would play Pittsburgh. But guess, I mean, every game would be, you know, 15,000 or less. But when Pittsburgh came to town, it was 30 to 40,000, all black and gold. So that's what they do. So they have a tremendous system that they believe in. They stick to it. They know the type of players they want to draft. They know the type of mentality that they want to draft. They know the personalities that that make them successful. So, and again, my hat goes off to Mike Tomlin, who I think is going to be a Hall of Fame coach. He has that mentality. He fits the Steeler mode. So it all goes back to leadership at the top.
Eddie George joins us this morning on the show ahead of this big one, Titans and Steelers, later on today. It's part of the early window on CBS. That's about 2 hours away from kickoff. Last year, you were inducted into the Titans Ring of Honor. Your jersey retired number 27, and you did it alongside your late teammate, Steve McNair. So both of your numbers retired last year. I know that meant a lot to you. What was that experience like that day?
Oh, it was tremendous. It was overwhelming. To have our jersey numbers retired. Typically, the organization, they don't make a move like that unless you're a Hall of Famer. So no one wore the numbers, but I guess I talked about leadership of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but for Amy Adams Strong to go out her way to make myself and Steve's family feel like, hey, we honor you, we respect you, we want to do right by you by celebrating that no one ever will wear these numbers again in the history of the Titans was really overwhelming. It was emotional. And I really appreciated the gesture of that. It just harkens back to my playing days, and it harkens back to, I guess, what Steve and I have had sacrificed to get here. And to be recognized in that capacity is really, really overwhelming.
Football creates intense bonds. It is a sport where, because it's so physical, there are things you put your body on the line that only your teammates can truly understand what you've gone through. And you were a guy that was out there on Sundays every single week. You never missed a game, but it was remarkable the type of physicality you took and that you doled out. What was that bond like between you and Steve McNair trying to explain it to the outside world, because both of you guys were cut from such the same cloth?
Yes. No, Steve was a country boy, and you know, I came from the inner city of Philadelphia, but in Ohio, and we had like minds. We had the same ideals in terms of what it meant to be successful. We knew that we had to cross various valleys and chasms and various challenges to overcome to become successful. And that was okay. So, you know, we were willing to do anything for our teammates. We played hurt often. I never missed a game due to injury. Steve often played hurt, you know, walked out on the field with his whole body was just an injury. So, and we sacrificed because we understood we had a finite window to define ourselves as not just as players, but as men, as leaders, as ambassadors of the city. And we had a tremendous love for one another. So we saw how we both struggled through a lot, and we had to lean on each other for a lot of things. So it was our career, or during our time together, was one big pledging period, if you will, into manhood on the NFL level. So it was a tremendous honor to play with Steve in that regard, because I was a big fan of him, and he was at Alcorn State, and because he came in a year before I did, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful man who would give you the shirt off of his back for you. So he did it in every way. He demonstrated in every aspect and walk of life that he walked in. So yeah, it was an honor to play along with Steve.
Still see a lot of number 9 jerseys out there in both Tennessee and Nashville and in Baltimore. He was really beloved by so many fans who appreciated that guts that you just talked about. He was one big walking injury so many times. How hard has it been to just not have him around?
You know, I think about Steve often. This is a time in our lives when we are watching our children take our torch and whatever that is in any walk of life and become who they are to guide them. This is our time in life to sit back and talk about the good old days when we played, and talk about the nuances and the details of various games and wars and battles that we've had. The funny stories, those moments on the plane, the way back from getting our asses kicked, and what we were thinking, what we said, and I mean all of that stuff. This is the time that we did that we should have had. Those are the silver linings. And this is what you play the game for, to have those moments, to have these those conversations, and you're robbed of that because of, you know, how he entered the next chapter of his life. So that said, you know, I think about him every day, honestly. I really do. And it's been, 11 years since his death. I died in 2009. And especially on a day like today, when they are playing the Steelers, you think about the wars that we had with them. I'll tell you a quick story. Steve had back surgery, I think it was in 2000, and he missed a couple weeks. Well, the week that he came back against the Steelers. And again, we know what it is when you play against the Steelers. And Jeff May told him, he said, listen, Nine, I don't want you to go out and do too much. You slide if you have to. Really make wise business decisions when you're playing. Don't take any unnecessary hits. We're just going to take this thing slow and easy for you, and you can lean on us. And Steve Shakes said, okay, I'm going to do exactly that. So the first drive, we're driving against Pittsburgh, and it's a physical drive. I mean, it's a 3 yards, a cloud of dust, and dumped to the tight end here. It was like 15 minutes long, it seemed like, for this drive. The cap were inside the 5 yard line. And Steve calls a bootleg, and we both all in the huddle, like, what? Like, okay. So we run the bootleg, he runs, and I'm thinking he's going to slide because he's not going to make the corner. And he's rusty, he's not going to make the corner. And Pittsburgh, you know, they're coming for blood. So the defensive back, you know, launches the Steve. Steve jumps in the air, goes back first, flips backwards in the end zone. We go berserk, and we're like, okay, we're not losing this game today. If our leader, who just came off of back surgery, is doing that against this team, hey, we have to say we got to damn near jump on the grenade. We don't leave this field unless it's in the body bag. That's how we felt. So, you know, that's the mentality. That's how he charged us. He emboldened us to be our best selves and fight through the pain.
What a great story that is. Boy, ahead of today's Titans and Steelers game, that is a wonderful, wonderful story. Our guest is Eddie George, four-time Pro Bowler, helped lead the Tennessee Titans to 4 postseason appearances and a couple of AFC championship games as well, and a Super Bowl. He's a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, and he has a lot of memories of Titans and Steelers, which we are getting ready for later on today. Eddie, it's always so fun to talk to you and talk football with you, man. Thanks so much for doing it with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
My man, not anytime. Have a blessed day.
You too, man. Thanks so much. Eddie George joining us this morning on the show. That was so good. Eddie is so, so, so good. And what a perfect, perfect anecdote and interview to have before Titans and Steelers. And I just have the utmost respect for these guys for things like that. And look, it was a little different back in the day. Eddie's talking about a game probably 20 years ago or so. So it's a little different than it is today. But still today, these guys put their body on the line every single Sunday. And if you go back a generation, those wars were legit. This was well before the CTE conversation was so mainstream. It was well before things that we knew about health and wellness and all the types of things that today, understandably so, has made the game so much safer. But those guys did play in wars. And it is so interesting to remember that Titans and Steelers used to be a divisional game. This used to be a rivalry game. The AFC Central was a monster. By the time you get to the late 90s, the Steelers are still the Steelers. They had been in their renaissance since the early 90s when Cowher took over for the fading days of Chuck Knoll. The Steelers were the Steelers. The Ravens had become a physical group as well, having drafted Ray Lewis and all of those physical guys that were there in the late 90s, early 2000s. The Oilers had that same exact mentality as well. You just talked about it. You heard Eddie George talk about it between himself and Steve McNair. And those three would just clash constantly. And remember, Tom Coughlin was there in Jacksonville. The Jaguars were also an AFC Central team. And the Jaguars were a Tom Coughlin-led outfit that were very, very physical and tenacious as well. So there was no room for the weak in the AFC Central. And that was a division that was really the black and blue division. Very cool stuff with Eddie George. I really enjoyed that. When we come back here on the show, we are coming in hot. Did James Franklin blow a chance at the college football playoff with one decision on opening night for his Penn State Nittany Lions? Plus, did the Dolphins have the right idea switching to Tua now? DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Check your local listings for the game and time in your area. You'll say you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Happy Sunday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate it. Today, an NFL on CBS doubleheader. The early games feature two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe. Big Ben of the Steelers head to Tennessee to take on Tannehill and the Titans. Later, most of you will see if the Niners can turn their season around against the Patriots, while others will watch Chiefs and Broncos. We get you set for the day's action of the NFL today. Coming up in about a half hour from now, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, the NFL is on CBS. Damon Amendolara, DA with you. Every single Sunday morning, we break down your college football day from Saturday and preview your NFL Sunday. And we do it by coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down three enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. You're kind of headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Last night in Indiana, Penn State was a top 10 team. The Hoosiers had not beaten a top 10 squad since 1987. And Penn State had a lead and the football with under 2 minutes to play. All Penn State has to do is hold on to the football, drain clock, and not give it back to Indiana. They lead by a point. Instead, Indiana decides, let's let them score. Penn State does. It's running back tippy-toeing into the end zone, saying, should I go in? Should I not? What am I supposed to do here? Goes into the end zone. They're up 8. Indiana comes back down the field and scores the game-tying touchdown and 2-point conversion to send to OT, then ultimately wins in dramatic fashion in overtime. James Franklin's decision to not remind his players that you cannot score here. You must take a knee. You must sit down on the one-yard line. Comes back to bite him. Here's James Franklin.
The hard part here, Mark, is that there was a lot of plays throughout that game that we would have liked to have been different. And, you know, I know in some ways probably people look at that one play, but there was a lot of plays throughout the game that that we should have done differently and could have handled better and could have made plays. So it's, you know, my job as the head coach to make sure everybody clearly understands those situations. And obviously right there, that didn't happen.
Look, the irony is that Penn State should have won this football game. That wasn't a good 2-point conversion. It wasn't. The Indiana quarterback Penix rolls left, extends his entire arm and body, goes vertical, essentially, and then horizontal to get to the pylon. That ball hit the ground before it hit the pylon by a millimeter, but it did hit the ground beforehand. It should not have been a 2-point conversion. But the refs called it as such. They did not overturn it on the review. Indiana wins a dramatic, amazing game. But Penn State can't make the college football playoff after losing to an unranked Indiana team. It's not going to happen. So simply because James Franklin may have said it but didn't impress it upon his players enough, he blew his chance at a playoff. Simple as that. Simple as that. And it is sad that one decision like that can do it, but I don't see how Penn State goes to a playoff having lost to Indiana. They'd have to have a lot break their way, and they have to beat Ohio State, obviously, and they have to go undefeated the rest of the way and then have to win the Big Ten championship game. A lot of things got to go their way, and all those games have to be played, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That may have taken them out of the playoff because he wasn't forceful enough. His player clearly didn't get the message. In the NFL today, Jimmy Garoppolo has a lot on his shoulders. Not only does San Francisco desperately need a win in Foxborough, but of course, this is against the Patriots franchise that traded him away and opted for Tom Brady. There was a story today by Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports saying that the Niners are not wedded to Garoppolo beyond this year. Their guaranteed money to him is going to dry up after this season, so they could go out there and look at a different quarterback. And remember that Kyle Shanahan has success and a history with two veteran quarterbacks that could be available, Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins. Now, I don't know if I would swap Kirk Cousins in for Garoppolo. Is that really an upgrade? But Matt Ryan is. Matt Ryan absolutely is. Should Jimmy G be worried that his struggles a couple of weeks ago against the Dolphins could still rear their ugly heads?
Well, my ankle's feeling a lot better than it was in the Miami week, so I think that'll definitely help out a little bit. But yeah, as far as the scheme, you know, it's they come from the same tree, but I mean that type of defensive scheme is so, you just gotta be ready for anything. They could do what they're showing on film, they could not. So it's kind of just it's a game plan defense, and you just gotta be ready for in-game adjustments.
I was very impressed by the Niners' ability to win and win easily over the Rams. And so they kind of washed the stink off themselves after that Dolphins debacle. But Jimmy G hasn't washed the stink off him. And if today he goes to Foxborough and looks completely outclassed by a Belichick defense that, let's face it, is pretty limited right now in the talent that it has. If the Niners go to Foxborough and Garoppolo looks overwhelmed, outmatched, clueless, you've really got to wonder if Garoppolo is the guy. I know they were in the Super Bowl last year, but in this offseason, they opted for Garoppolo over Tom Brady, saying, we want the future, not the temporary present in Brady. Well, let's face it. Right now, the Niners would be a much different team with Tom Brady than they would with what they have in Garoppolo. Garoppolo might not be 100%. That's part of this equation. But he needs to play well today because he might be playing for his job. I don't know how many times you can come up small in a big spot and have the Niners in the offseason say, yeah, we want to go back into the Jimmy Garoppolo business. Huge game for him. And finally, in Miami, it's a bye week, but the Dolphins this week decided to turn to the rookie, Tua Tagovailoa. I spoke to Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald, who covers the Dolphins this week on my show, and here was his reaction to the news.
I had to pick my jaw up off the floor when I got the news yesterday because for the very reason you just mentioned. Look, this is a good football team right now. The record does not suggest how good they are. They're number three, I believe, in the AFC in point differential, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is a big reason why. They lost close games to the Seahawks, Bills, and Patriots, and they just absolutely took three bad teams to the woodshed. I guess the Niners aren't a bad team. They were at that time with Garoppolo not healthy. So, no, this is a team that probably would have made the playoffs if they hadn't made the change. Now we have no idea what the future has in store for this team. For the last 10 games of the season, they have the 10th easiest schedule. And Brian Flores' team, as it was last year, as it was for years with the New England Patriots, gets better with each and every week. They would be better in November than they were in October and better in December than they were in November. So, yes, I think they would have gotten a 9 or 10 wins and been either the 7th seed or even won the AFC East.
Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald saying he thought with Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Dolphins could win the AFC East. I don't think I'd go that far because I still think the Bills are the better team. But boy, I love what Brian Flores has done with that organization and that roster and that team. I thought this was a mistake. I think this was bad timing by the Dolphins. I know you have the bye week, but I think that dictated too much here. You're playing well. You had back-to-back blowout wins over the Niners and over the Jets. Fitzpatrick had clearly been moving the football well, playing some of the best football of his career. I think there's a value in winning games, in playing important games, and not giving up the ghost. And I know that Tua's got to be the future, and I know that you want to get him reps. I just think you wait on it. Why ruin the momentum right now that you got cooking? Why do it just because the bye week is here? Wait to see how the season unfolds a little bit. To me, before turning to Tua. Coming up here on the show, we're going to go out to Vegas. Every Sunday, we get your breakdown of what the day looks like from a Vegas Sharps perspective. Amal Shah is going to join us here on the show. He joined us a couple of weeks ago for the Vegas Sports and Information Network. He's going to drop on by from the desert coming up next. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA Damon Amendolar with you, and joining us here is co-host of My Guys in the Desert. He's our Vegas virtuoso this week. He has joined us earlier in the season as well, our friend Amal Shah from VSiN, the Vegas Sports Information Network. Mal, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to start with the big game here. That's Steelers and Titans. This one opened up as a Steelers favorite, and money has shifted to the Titans, making the Titans the favorite. What have you made of the shift in the betting money this week?
I'm not really that surprised with Tennessee being at home, but I actually think this is the best game from a viewership perspective. I think this is arguably one of the toughest games to bet. If you're a teaser bettor, I think you can get Pittsburgh at six and a half or a 7-point teaser. I think teasing them up to 7, 7.5, or 8 is a good way to go. You look at Pittsburgh, they've been dominant in their performances thus far, really in control of all their games. Now, you can make the argument they haven't played a challenging schedule thus far, and that would be valid, but still, overall, very good football team, and I think the absence of Taylor Lewan on the left side of the offensive line could have an impact on the protection of Tannehill in this matchup. So for me, I think this is a tough game to call. It's going to come down to a possession either way. I think we see whichever side wins, it's going to be a 3 or 4 point winner on this one. But again, like I said, if you're a teaser bettor, I think the Steelers getting a touchdown or more is a good way to go in this one.
That Lewan injury that you cited, huge one. Let's see how the Steelers try to take advantage of that. Browns and Bengals in the AFC North. The Browns are coming off getting waxed by the Steelers team. They travel to Cincinnati. How do you expect the Browns to respond? They're favored by 3.5.
Yeah, you know, the big question mark for them is, can they shore up that offensive line? We saw last week they really struggled in terms of the offensive line with the injuries that they had. They need to make sure they're more effective there. If they can do that, then they've got a great opportunity in this game. Cincinnati without Joe Mixon, I think it's going to have an impact in their running game. He's terrific in terms of his running ability to run the football. This is a revenge spot for the Bengals. Remember, the Browns beat them the first time around, but the Bengals got the backdoor cover in this one. I've got to see some consistency out of Baker Mayfield. I'm not going to touch this game. I think a road division game when you're laying 3.5 is always dangerous. I know the Browns are a better football team than the Cincinnati Bengals, but I need to see it consistently. If you look at the Browns in their 4 wins, they've beaten up on some teams that have been really struggling this year. Cincinnati, the Washington football team, the Dallas Cowboys. So not ready to get too excited yet about the Browns, but this is a stay-away spot. Might be a better opportunity at halftime in this game for you.
So on that point, a divisional game on the road. The Bills are on the road against the Meadowlands against the Jets. The Bills are 10-point favorites. The Jets are obviously the worst team in football. I wonder, is there a line that could be too big to vote or to bet against, you know, to bet against the Jets?
Well, as long as Adam Gase is the coach, there's always an opportunity to go against the Jets. And to me, this is a team that's 0-6 and 0-6 ATS. Really not much confidence in taking them. Expect Sam Darnold to be able to potentially go in this game. That's going to be a critical factor. But you look at Jamison Crowder's out. That hurts this team. Sam Ficken, not that he makes that much of a difference, but, you know, a field goal could be critical when you're trying to cover a 10-point spread. I just want to see Josh Allen get back on track. If Allen can play well like he did in the first 4 weeks of the season, I think Buffalo can name the score in this football game. He's going to be the key today. If he can get his confidence back and play well, I think Buffalo rolls. But if not, if they turn the ball over, then this game is going to be right around the number.
Amal Shah joins us from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, is our Vegas virtuoso this morning. Cowboys in Washington. It is a brutal reality for Cowboys fans that they are an underdog in Washington today, but that speaks to a lot of the injuries that the Cowboys have. But even with the injuries along the offensive line and at quarterback, shouldn't the Cowboys still be favored to beat the Washington team?
Yeah, DA, I think you're absolutely right. I think the Cowboys here, even though they're on the road division game and shorter week for them, I think they find a way to get it done. I'm not a big fan of this Washington team. I'm just not a big Kyle Allen guy. I think when you look at the Dallas' weapons, obviously the offensive line is banged up. 4 out of 5 starters are being replaced in terms of due to injury. I think Zeke gets back on track. I think he really hones in on not fumbling the football. And then you look on the outside, that trio is so dangerous in terms of what they can do. I think Dalton with an extra week of practice will be better. I think Dallas ekes out a win here. I'll take the +1 point. But, you know, quick in the 1 o'clock Eastern teaser window, Dallas getting 7, Steelers getting 7. Pretty good plays there, in my opinion.
Good one. Packers and Texans. That's also an early game. Now, Green Bay's a 3-point favorite on the road. Did how the Texans played tough last week against Tennessee affect how you looked at this game at all?
You know, not for me as much as maybe some other people. I have been high on Green Bay all season long, and I know they laid an egg for 3 quarters against Tampa. I was impressed, though, with Houston when you look at their schedule. They opened with the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers. It has not been an easy schedule thus far. The game that I thought they played poorly in was the one at home against Minnesota, but this is still a competitive football team. They have a difference maker, a quarterback, in Deshaun Watson. I think this is a game where they're going to have some opportunities. You look at Green Bay, they're banged up at various positions on offense. That could have an impact in this matchup. But I would give the Packers a look here. I'm not always thrilled about laying 3 points on the road, but I think AR-12 in a dome environment, this offense will find a way. Coming off of a loss, I think Green Bay is one of those teams you like to look at when they come off of a loss. I think they find a way to bounce back. And I tell you, I have a lot of question marks still about that about that Houston defense.
Yeah, it feels like this could be a bit of a I'll show you from Aaron Rodgers after all the criticism he took after last week. Buccaneers and Raiders was supposed to be the Sunday night game. They moved it out of that time slot because of the positive COVID test that came back from the Raiders this week. Game's going to be played, though, so Buccaneers and Raiders in Vegas today, and it's a 4-point line in favor of the Buccaneers. How do you read the Bucs favored by 4 on the road today?
You know, I know a lot of people are high on the Buccaneers. I'm not quite there with everyone else yet. I'm not also a big Raider guy. I think Derek Carr leaves a lot to be desired. But with John Gruden's teams, they either seem to play up to the level of competition or down to the level of competition. Coming off of a bye week, I think this is an opportunity for a team to kind of play up to the level of competition. They're riding that momentum off the win against Kansas City. I think getting 4, some places you would see as high as 4.5 DA, I would be looking at taking the plus points here. I think it's a little bit of a precarious number if you're Tampa on the road. I know Brady and company played well last week, but you know what? That was the defense. It was 2 turnovers. One was a bit of a fluke. That was the game-changing aspect of that one last week against Green Bay. I think if the Raiders don't turn the ball over and they feed Josh Jacobs, who is a terrific running back, I think they've got not only an opportunity to be able to cover this number, I think they pull the outright upset here.
Interesting. VSiN, the sports betting network. Amal Shah joins us from there as our Vegas virtuoso hour, sharp in the desert this morning. Niners and Patriots, you know, the Patriots played so poorly in that loss to the Broncos. It was really alarming, and now we really don't know how effective Cam Newton can be. What's your read on where the Patriots are? They are favored by 3 today.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for you on this one because I have not figured out what this team is yet either. When you look at them, highly inconsistent. They're about a yard and a half away from knocking off Seattle. If they didn't telegraph what the play was going to be, they'd probably win that football game. You know, they looked dominant against the Raiders, and then they really struggled. Obviously, Cam didn't play against the Chiefs. But I think if you're looking for spots in the NFL, and I like what I consider to be quality football teams off of a loss, you're getting the Patriots at home at about 2.5 or 3 points against the San Francisco team sitting at 3-3. I don't believe they're that effective this year compared to where they were last year. Too many injuries from the 49ers' perspective. Look, if you lose and you take the Patriots, you learn to live with it. But I think there's certain spots where you take certain teams, and I think this would be a spot for New England at home in a, I don't want to say a must-win because that's overused, but an important football game. There's a big difference in being 2-4 as opposed to 3-3.
Finally tonight, Seahawks and Cardinals got swapped into that late window. This one's in Arizona. The Cardinals are a tasty underdog here. They're getting 3.5 points at home. They are right now 4-2 against the spread. What do you think about this Seahawks and Cardinals line at 3.5 favoring the Seahawks?
You know, I think it's too many points. Now, I know Seattle has done well down in the desert in Glendale, but when you look at the Seahawks team, remember, if Mike Zimmer either elects to kick the field goal and push it to 8, maybe they win that game. Minnesota does. Or if, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Patriots could have executed at the goal line, they win that game. Seattle is 2 yards away from being 3-2. DA, I just don't think they're as good as their 5-0 record indicates. Russell Wilson is unbelievable. I've been a fan of his since his freshman year at NC State. But to me, when I look at this team, I think Kyler Murray is the kind of guy that creates problems against your defense, and with his speed to pick up the first down on a 3rd and 4 would be the difference. Getting 3.5, there's no way this game should be this high. Arizona at home, plus 3.5, but also take a look at them at the money line. This is an important game. It's a momentum builder for Cliff Kingsbury's team in terms of what they can be within this division. This division is up for grabs, even though Seattle sits with a 2-game lead. I think Arizona plus the 3.5 is a very good play here.
I think so, too, and I like them in the money line as well, because that Cardinals team, as you said, wants to thrust themselves in that divisional conversation of the NFC West, and this would be a big statement to do so. Amal Shah joining us, co-host of My Guys of the Desert on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can follow him on Twitter, at AmalShah1, as he is breaking down all of the games over the course of an NFL weekend from a Vegas perspective. Amal, great stuff as always this morning, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the football today.
Thank you. You as well.
Amal Shah joining us this morning here on the show. Excellent stuff as always. So here is what your day looks like around the NFL. Your early games, Lions and Falcons. This one is in Atlanta. Falcons are a one-point favorite, a slight favorite here. And for the Falcons, they've had some life after Dan Quinn got the zig. So we'll see if the Lions have any, because Matt Patricia could be the next guy that gets handed the pink slip. Browns and Bengals, which we touched on last hour. Browns needed to rebound after getting smacked around by the Steelers last week. They're in Cincinnati. Bengals are a 3.5-point underdog in this game at home. Steelers and Titans, the big early game, perhaps the game of the weekend. This one opened up as the Steelers favored slightly. It's moved towards the Titans. The Titans are favored by a point or a point and a half most places that you will find it. Panthers and Saints. While the Panthers have been competitive, and the Panthers are 500 at 3-3, they're still nearly a touchdown underdog in this game on the road in New Orleans. The Saints are favored by 6.5 points in this game. Bills and Jets, kind of no matter what Vegas puts that line out there, you always get tantalized by betting against the Jets each and every week for obvious reasons. The Jets are 0-6 and just seem to get worse by the week. The Bills are 10-point favorites on the road in the division. That is a rarity around the NFL, but it is a real situation for the Jets, who are 0-6 against the spread this year. So how big could the line be before people back away from it? The Jets getting 10 points at home today. Elsewhere in the early window, Cowboys and Washington. This one's going to be in D.C. Washington is a one-point favorite. How sad is that for Cowboys fans that they have to deal with being an underdog against Washington today? Cowboys desperately need this win. If they lose this football game, forget it. There's going to be panic in Dallas, calls for Mike McCarthy to be fired midseason, and he's going to have a flat-out mutiny on his hands. Packers and Texans, this one in Houston. Green Bay is a 3-point favorite coming off that ugly effort against Tampa Bay last week. Buccaneers and Raiders, part of the late window. That's a Fox game. Tampa Bay favored by 4 points on the road in Vegas. 425 on CBS, that's an Eastern kick. Chiefs and Broncos, this one in Denver. Chiefs are more than a touchdown favorite. 7.5-point favorite for the Chiefs in Denver. Niners and Patriots, the Jimmy Garoppolo coming back home game. Patriots favored by 3 points. What type of Patriots team is it? Defensively, they've got limited resources, and offensively, they look just awful last week against the Broncos. Jaguars and Chargers from SoFi Stadium in California. Chargers are a big favorite of this one, 7.5, and then Seahawks and Cardinals tonight. 3.5-point favorites for the Seahawks on the road in Arizona. That'll do it for us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Ryan Hickey, executive producer. Thanks to Anthony Pierno on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Seth Cantor on your headlines. I'm DA. I'll see you tomorrow morning on the DA show. Until then, enjoy football, everybody.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.